My first guest of the afternoon has joined me. She is Charlotte Otter. She's an author and she's written a book about leadership. We need new leaders. What a provocative statement. What a great way to begin. Charlotte, thank you for being with me on Chai FM this afternoon.
It's such a pleasure. Thanks for the invite, Simon.
We need new leaders. Goodness me. Why? What's wrong with the old ones?
I'm well aware it's a provocative title, but I do think we can all agree that there's a certain cohort of leaders in the world today that's making decisions that are making, you know, individuals unhappy. So the decisions that are made in political chambers ricochet down to individual people in their lives, and it's kind of miserable. But my book is a business book, so my focus is on how we can build a more diverse cohort of leaders in the business world.
It's very interesting. So I'm going off track just because as you're speaking, so my brain is spinning because I think it's fascinating and so timeous. You think the problem is with the leadership, not the society we're living in terms of social media that has divided us and the algorithm that is putting us into camps and making echo chambers. You reckon leadership could go some way to solving that issue?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's absolutely no doubt that social media can be divisive, but social media can also be peace. The world is who are making these decisions that have a ricochet effect for us.
We're really struggling to have a decent conversation because of the connection. Craig, perhaps
it's going to go the other way.
To try get hold of Charlotte, maybe disconnect and reconnect, and let's hope that the line improves somewhat because I pretty much missed everything that Charlotte responded to me. While Craig tries to reconnect Charlotte, let me just remind you that the WhatsApp line number is 061-895-1019. Charlotte, I'm just wondering whether you are back with me and whether we have a better line this time.
Can you hear me now?
Much better.
Excellent. Sorry about
much
that.
Better. Well, that's the thing in this new world we live in. We don't know where the problem is. It could be you. It could be me for all that we know. But great to have you back. So I am sorry to ask you to repeat that last sentence that you said because it completely eluded me. What were you saying?
So I was saying I completely acknowledge that social media is a problem, but my thesis in the book is the crisis of leaders. So the leaders in politics create a crisis for leaders in business. So leaders in business have to make decisions based on a context that's created by politics. And an example of that is what happened in the US last year. I was writing my book, finishing off my book during the US election, and it was going to be 50-50, right? It was going to go one way or the other. It went a particular way. And the whole of 2025, we've seen businesses across the world completely cutting off their diversity and inclusion programs, completely cutting off any verbalizing around sustainability if they want to do business with the US. What happened in the US has created a crisis for business leaders around the world. So that context is the challenge for leaders.
Wow, that is such an interesting new thing you've just said. I mean, it could be argued that it's just the pendulum swinging to the other extreme in order to find its midpoint again. It could be argued that it had swung way too far the other way. I mean, we got to a point in our lives where we couldn't agree on how many genders there were. People were being fired and cancelled for having alternative opinions. Do you not think to a certain extent this was just not a reaction to an extreme on the other side?
So my issue with diversity and inclusion was not so much that it existed, but that it was siloed, that it was put off in one little corner of the organization, and it became quite intensive and it became quite inflammatory. And I think the challenge with diversity, and I think South Africa is actually a brilliant example, is to thread it through the whole culture, to thread it across the organization. And I think that South Africans can actually be very proud of the transformation that you've gone through in the last 30 years, that is, in many ways, the rest of the world is much further behind.
I spoke to a very good friend of mine the other day, a very bright woman who was busy completing her MBA degree. And she spoke about the diverse makeup of the teams of which she was a part. And she said to me, Simon, I'm done with diversity. I said, what do you mean? That is just what you're saying is not an acceptable statement in South Africa. She said, I can't work with the men anymore. I said, what are you talking about? She said, there's a presupposition that the women in the group will do the work for them. She said, you know what? I'm done with that. Give me a group of women. We're all aligned with the same philosophies and understandings. Let the men work on their own. I'm done being their nursemaid. And I just thought this was absolutely fascinating because it goes completely against conventional wisdom. And what would your take be on an approach like that?
Well, what I'm saying is we have a very old school archetype of leadership in our heads. It can be male, it can be loud, it can be room owning, maybe it's in a navy suit, maybe it's got a red tie. And I'm saying we need to change the archetype of leadership. Maybe the leadership can be quieter, maybe it can be more nurturing, maybe it can be more empathetic, maybe it can be more collaborative, the way that your friend described. So what I did in the book is I interviewed 40 leaders from diverse backgrounds, diverse identities, and underrepresented minorities, both emerging and established leaders, to understand how they thought about their leadership style, their reputation, and what diversity meant to them. And I interviewed without a thesis in my head, and I interviewed not thinking about diversity just as race and gender. So I was thinking about diversity across age, across wealth, across background, across neurodiversity, across LGBTQIA. So I interviewed as broadly as I could in order to try and find the commonalities.
Is there some jurisdiction worldwide that you could point to where, in your opinion, this has been done pretty successfully? Or we just nowhere near it anyway?
Yeah, I mean, on one level, Europe's doing quite well legally with quotas, but there are more CEOs called Paul in the Netherlands than there are female CEOs. So there's still a long way to go. We've got a long way to go to really change the
You
C-suite.
just said something quite interesting. You said they've done quite well in terms of quotas. Is that what you're advocating?
Not necessarily. And my book is not about quotas or diversity. My book is really about is about reputation. In fact, it's about the intersection of reputation, leadership, and diversity. But I'm just saying, as with South Africa, South Africa has built-in requirements and recommendations. Europe is trying to do so, but society often takes longer to catch up with legal recommendations.
You've brought me to 3:30. Charlotte, we're going to leave it there this afternoon. That's certainly a lot of food for thought. Thank you for your time this afternoon.
Thanks for having me. It's been great.